Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the show we call The Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, August 22nd, 2013. The Buckmaster Show is live each weekday from 12:04 to 1 right here on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice, also Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We stream our show live at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere by visiting buckmastershow.com. The show is also posted to the tucsonsentinel.com website, and tucsoncitizen.com also has our podcast. We usually get the podcast up within an hour or so of the conclusion of the show. Our ace producer, Rosemary Brandt, takes care of that. We get the show posted so then you can hear the program on your schedule. Also, we have links to the Buckmaster Show on the homepage of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun at gvnews.com and the homepage for Blog for Arizona, the award-winning website, Washington Post, calling it the best political blog site in Arizona, and that site is blogforarizona.com. During the noon hour, momentarily, we will be hearing from Congressman Raul Grijalva, United States Representative Raul Grijalva, a Democrat representing Arizona's 3rd congressional district. Then half past the hour, our monthly segment on companion animal care. Today we're going to be talking about underwater treadmill therapy in companion animals. So that sounds very interesting. Then we're going to close out the show with Dr. Robert Hendricks. Dr. Hendricks, one of 24 or so contributors to this program, experts in their field who are kind enough to contribute to this program on at least a once-a-month basis. With Dr. Hendricks, we will be talking about this plan that is being put forth in the Amphitheater School District to cut the path to a high school diploma in half. In other words, getting the high school diploma in 2 years instead of the traditional 4 years. If you have a comment or question for us, you can join us on the Buckmaster Show live line, and that number is 790-2040, or you can join us on our Facebook page, the Facebook presence. Very simple to find, Bill Buckmaster, and that parentheses Buckmaster Show. One of the things I want to talk to Congressman Grijalva about is the op-ed piece that he had in yesterday's Arizona Daily Star, and that was pretty much responding to the 8-day series in the Arizona Daily Star. I'm going to put the question out to you right now, and if you'd like to join us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. Do you think it is an issue concerning wages? Should we raise the minimum wage in this country? Would that take care of the poverty problem? I'd like to hear from you. 790-2040, 790-2040, if you have a comment about that, because one of the things that Congressman Grijalva talks about in his op-ed piece, the lack of a sustainable living wage in this country, he says, is compounded by cuts we've already made to nutrition programs, education, after-school care, low-income health measures, and a host of other efforts that should be improved, he says, and not eliminated. He says that the idea that we should make the lives of poor Americans as difficult and as miserable as possible to motivate them to try harder is a cruel fantasy that has no place in modern democracy. He says punishing the less fortunate to teach them a lesson is simply not an acceptable, let alone realistic or effective way to govern. Yet it's what we've been doing in various ways for years. He says it's time to stop playing games. Start paying Americans a living wage once and for all and create the kinds of sustainable jobs that we really need to get this country moving. It's about 9 minutes now past the hour of noon on the Buckmaster Show, and I've been reading from Congressman Grijalva's op-ed piece, and the congressman joins us now. Congressman Grijalva, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you, and my apologies, my friend. Sometimes traffic overtakes me.
I know, and it can be very challenging to find the KVOI studios.
I should be able to find it by now.
Let's talk a little bit about this. I just posed, read a little bit of your op-ed piece in the Star. You said you were very moved by the eight-day piece, the pieces that ran in the Star. Would improving the minimum wage get us in the right direction?
You know, I think there's been, if we look at our economy and we look at it in a very objective way, we'll see that, you know, beginning somewhere around 1973, but really 81, 82, there has been a widening gap of earning power, wages, in this country between those that have done well as a result of the economics that have been in place since then. That's the upper 3, 4, 5% of the American people. God bless them. I'm glad they're doing well. But the income gap and the wage gap that is now so profound in this country has, I think, done something that I think for the economy is making it really hard to come to a full revival. And that is the consumer anxiety, the fact that consumers are being less risk takers than in previous times. Risk takers, those big purchases, and thus, because of the anxiety, because of not quite knowing what's over the hill, people take less risk and business suffers. You know, amassing great amounts of wealth and resources in one sector doesn't really create the consumer demand in the private sector that is so badly needed. So minimum wage is one aspect of bringing earning power, closing the gap. But, you know, it's structural. It's fundamentally we're going to need to look at how we look at our economy. You know, ideas that in the past have been sort of broached and thrown aside have to be re-looked at. You know, if, you know, corporate America continues to ask for tax breaks, and the points of debate have been, you've already had enough tax breaks, you don't need any more, we need to help the middle class, we need to help people that are striving. That's been the argument back and forth, and I've participated in this argument as much as anybody else. What you have to look outside the box now. What do we tell corporate America? Okay, you're going to get your tax cuts. But as a consequence of that tax cut, you're going to create this many jobs, good-paying jobs. You're going to hire first and make this country and its workforce your primary consumer.
And if you don't meet the benchmarks,
then the cuts go away. Mm-hmm. And I say that because you're still living it in the private sector. You're still letting the free market take care of it. But you now have not only incentivized through a tax cut, but you've also stipulated through some points that you have to do this in order to take benefit of. Open-ended tax cuts, are going to become the thing of the past. Tax cuts with requirements in order to meet, and job creation being, I think, one
of the
primary.
The future way to go, you think. Okay, Linda is up first with us on the Buckmaster Show live line with Congressman Raul Grijalva. Go ahead, Linda.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Congressman, for being on the Buckmaster Show. My question, no, I'll start with my comment. I've observed that there's very little attention given to the high turnover problem there is with a lot of employers, and work conditions are as important as pay is. And my question is there any efforts going on to try to make farm labor just a little more amenable so that everyday citizens can get involved in that as an alternative?
Couple of good points there.
I thought first point was really important, that we're talking about job security and good paying jobs, but we're also talking about employment that has a satisfaction level for that person that is working. They're being productive. It's a good company. There's attendant benefits that takes care of that employee and its family. I think it's hugely important to look at that as a whole package. I also believe that turnover rate, you know, last quarter announced we have 177,000 new jobs created in this country. And that's good. 65% of them were part-time jobs. And so that leaving and moving continues to be part of this this job situation. There's people that have gave up looking for work. There are people that are working three part-time jobs. And so I think the stability is tied to the job. I also your point about farm work, making it so that people feel that it's a worthy, dignified value to that work. Mm. I think it's the protections you offer those folk. It's the ability for those people that work in farm labor to feel that they're being compensated for the hard work and in a fair way, and that you provide the attendant benefits that employees want with their work. I think that begins to make farm work as a whole a more stable, a more dignified, and as Buck just said, a job with value.
All right, 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. Congressman Raul Grijalva with us. We have two calls on hold, but we do want to take a break right here because it's important to keep this program on the air. We want to support the people who support the Buckmaster Show. So please take a moment now. We'll be back with the Congressman right after this.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com. The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our Thursday edition. Congressman Raul Grijalva is with me in studio. I've got a couple of questions on our live line, Congressman. Let's go to Lauren first, continuing our discussion about minimum wage. Go ahead, Lauren.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I'll try to keep it brief. I have to somewhat respectfully disagree with the congressman. Now, in my mind, the country is going broke, if not broke. We're on our way. It is not the obligation of small business or larger business to sustain or support the lowest echelons of the workforce. Now, each legitimate citizen's obligation is to fend for himself. If we continue to provide the pavement or the highway for these people in terms of dollars, it will exacerbate our debt. I mean, it sounds great on paper to give people more money, but small business is not going to be able to sustain this. We all started at low wage. I probably started at 65 cents an hour. I'm 65 years old.
Okay, thanks, Lauren. Go ahead, Congressman. Sorry to cut you off, Lauren. I just got so little time here.
Our country's based on a different premise, and the premise is that it's a value, and our value is not the survival of the fittest. In which those that can't, the most vulnerable, those that lack opportunity are left on the heap, and then we move on. I think that there's both a responsibility as a nation, and the distinction between a business sector and a family is too nebulous to make that distinction. We all have a responsibility. And if we're going to look at the future set of productive consumers for your business, a future set of people that are going to help stabilize the economy in this country, then we have to invest. And part of the investment is salaries. And part of the investment is a livable wage. And part of the investment is that people will be able to see over the fence and know that there is some future, if not immediately for them, certainly for their children. And so minimum wage, while it might be symbolic to some, it is essential to a family.
All right, Matthew, you are up next now on the Buckmaster Show. Please keep it brief. I want to ask the congressman on another subject, but let's wrap this up. Go ahead, Matthew.
Congressman, can you comment on the AFL-CIO's attempts, I believe, and other unions to expand and open up membership beyond their traditional workers? Thank you.
Fundamentally, organized labor from 30s, 40s, 50s, even up into the 60s, early 70s, was a trade union and a very powerful trade union aspect. Now, as we look at to this economy of the future, the trades are important, but when you have membership under 20%, under 30% in this country that belongs to organized labor, I think the effort by the AFL-CIO, and particularly unions like SEIU, CWA, AFSCME, others, to reach into house cleaning, to reach into hotel and restaurant workers, to reach into technicians working in the Silicon Valley in manufacturing, to reach into that workforce to expand the base of organized labor, I think is a good thing. And to go and help organize the below minimum wage workers in this country is a good thing. Organized labor is still, I think, one of the engines that made the middle class in this country. And as we go through these hard times, it is not a contradiction to have well-represented employees insisting on their fairness and dignity in the workplace and compensation. It does not hurt.
All right, we're going to switch topics here. I've only got about 5 minutes left. Actually, Joe is going to help us switch topics when we go to Joe in a moment because he has a comment about Rosemont, and that's our topic next, Congressman. You and Congressman Barber want to slow down the process that could lead to the final approval of the proposed Rosemont copper mine in the Santa Rita Mountains south of Tucson. Some are saying that this is a done deal. Is it a done deal?
Well, I've been hearing it's a done deal now for 5 years, and mostly from the company that we're done. This is going to be it. We are the economic panacea that's going to save Southern Arizona. Well, 5 years later, here we are. And, you know, you can't buy public opinion in this community of ours. I and six other people that ran last year, I thought it was a partial referendum, all had people running against us that were pro-Rosemont. This is going to be the epicenter of economic growth in this region of the country. They all lost. They all lost. And so I would consider that a partial referendum on public opinion in this community.
Okay, Joe, let's bring you into the conversation on the Buckmaster Show Liveline. Caller Joe with Congressman Grijalva. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, how's it going? I really appreciate you being here. And I'm just kind of wondering, like, when do we understand the strip mining of America? You know, it solves things for just a little bit. It's like our fascination with fracking right now. That stuff is such bogus economics. I think that the bogus economics are connected to this, the Rosemont Mine Project. And the connection is more to farming, and tainted water is tainted vegetables, tainted cattle is tainted beef, you know, when we're feeding the water to these things. So I was just wondering, where's the heavy emphasis on the conversation? Oh, and by the way, we're getting water restrictions because the runoff from the Colorado mountains, it's not happening. So we are going to get less water.
Okay, Joe, thank you. Go ahead, Congressman.
2 points. The shelf life of a mining operation like Rosemont or Resolution up in the Copper Triangle, the shelf life's 20 years. And afterwards, there is reclamation. There is potential issues dealing with water with watersheds. So what Ron and I did is say there is regulations and other boxes that need to be checked. Don't rush the process in order to avoid those regulatory requirements that are coming on board. Do the due diligence. And as I've said over and over again, this is about intended and unintended consequences. We have to know what every consequence it is for the sake of this community and the trade-off. All that mineral that is going to be taken out of Rosemont, not one penny of royalties comes back to the taxpayers. That's their commodity. And whether it's private land or not, or whether it's state land or not, gas and oil pay a royalty. Other energy producers pay a royalty. Mining, based on a law that is 1872 law, has a free rein. I suggest that there is taxpayer responsibility. There is watershed issues and aquifer issues, and there's economic issues. Trade-off. 20-year shelf life for mine, minerals extracted, do no return to the taxpayer, 100, 200, 300, depends on who you ask, jobs that are created, and they're good jobs, trade-off. Tourism, trade-off. The business created by ecotourism in that whole Santa Cruz Valley and region. Is that a valid economic trade-off? I venture to say it's not. And so as we look at consequences, environmental, quality of life, and economic, you know, The jury might be out for some on Rosemont, but for me, I think the return is not worth the risk.
All right, we're going to have to wrap it up. Congressman Grijalva, thank you very much. Yes or no on immigration reform this year, Congressman? This year.
The optimist says yes. The realist says I'm worried.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Have a great
afternoon.
Thanks for being with us. All right, we'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Following a three-hour halt of trading because of some kind of technical glitch, word from New York now that full trading has resumed on the NASDAQ stock exchange. The U.S. soldier who massacred 16 Afghan civilians has apologized for what he calls his act of cowardice. In a military courtroom today in Washington State, Staff Sergeant Robert Bales made his case for why he should one day have a shot at freedom. He's been sentenced to life in prison, but he'd like to be eligible for parole at some point. He hasn't mounted much of a defense, and now Army Major Nidal Hassan has declined the opportunity to deliver a closing argument at his trial in Texas for the 2009 shooting spree at Fort Hood. The military jury now has the case. On Wall Street, the Dow and the NASDAQ both higher. This is SRN News.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Thank you.
back to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon. And once a month, we focus on animal care issues here on our program. The segment is about specialty animal care presented by Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, an award-winning facility open 24/7 and recognized as the best place to bring your sick or injured pet. Located at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, and on the web at vscot.com. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, specialty vets for special pets. And joining us on this month's animal care segment is Sherry Jerzyk, companion animal rehabilitation specialist at the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. Sherry, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How about you, sir?
Doing very well. Let's talk a little bit about underwater treadmill therapy. What is an underwater treadmill?
Well, an underwater treadmill is a lot like a land treadmill. It operates the same way. However, it's in a specially designed tank that we fill up with water, so the dogs are actually walking on the treadmill while it is underwater.
And how does it work? Do you slowly fill up the tank while the animal is walking on the treadmill?
We do. We generally start the treadmill when the animal is in there, and then we start filling it up with water so the dog is already walking or the cat is already walking as the water starts coming up, and it tends to be a little bit easier for them. And we can decide how much water we want in the treadmill, how fast we want the dog to walk, how much resistance we want them to use. We can decide all of those factors using the underwater treadmill.
And talk a little bit about the purpose of using an underwater instead of a land-based treadmill, if you will.
Well, the reason we use an underwater treadmill when we're doing companion rehabilitation is that we have a lot better control over the factors, meaning that if we have a debilitated dog, we can adjust how much weight that dog is bearing so it does not have to support all of its own weight. We can adjust how much stress we're putting on the joints. We have complete control over the environmental factors that we would not have if we were using a land treadmill.
How do the animals like walking at a sometimes probably a pretty good clip?
Most of the animals actually enjoy the water. I've worked with dogs and cats both, and even animals that generally we have an owner say, well, my pet doesn't really like the water. Most of those pets have been to the groomer, in the bathtub, in a swimming pool, so they really haven't had this type of exposure. And in 7 years of doing this, I haven't had a dog that actually did not enjoy using the underwater treadmill. It's a totally different experience than things like bathing and going to the groomer.
Some people have swimming pools. They perhaps might feel that could be a way to do this just as effective, put the animal in the pool. Is it?
It actually is not. The difference in swimming and walking on an underwater treadmill is dramatic. So if you have a healthy dog that likes to swim and play in the pool, that's one thing. But when we're talking about rehabilitation and working with dogs that have post-surgical conditions, they have maybe some health issues, they're debilitated, they're older, if we put them in a pool, one, dogs don't swim very effectively. They normally use really odd swimming patterns. They don't really use their rear legs a lot, and it takes a lot of cardiac function to try to support themselves when they're swimming. When we have them in the underwater treadmill, again, we have the ability to control that environment. We're also have the ability to make sure that they're using a proper gait, so we can work on the extension and flexion of the limbs, which we're not able to do in a swimming pool.
Sherry Jerzyk is with us, companion animal rehabilitation specialist at Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. We're talking about underwater treadmill therapy in companion animals. Let's talk a little bit about some of the conditions that would present themselves that would be conducive to the underwater treadmill.
Right. Well, the underwater treadmill, one, can be used with healthy animals if we have an animal that maybe we're just trying to condition, or maybe the animal's not getting the exercise it needs because it's so hot outside, there's not a way to exercise the dog outside. But we also use it a lot in animals that maybe have health issues that cannot, maybe are not surgical. They may have, arthritis. They may have, just decreased mobility from aging. Those are things that are great to work in the underwater treadmill, and we see really impressive benefits and recovery with those things. Senior pets, just to keep them mobile and get them up and moving. Cardiac function. So when we're talking cardiac function, we may be talking just about a senior dog that isn't as mobile as they used to be. We may be talking about a dog that has congestive heart failure or some other condition that makes it to where he gets winded really easy, including obesity. And by putting them in the underwater treadmill, we have the ability to slowly and in a controlled manner increase that cardiac function, so it makes it where they can become more mobile and so that their lungs are functioning a lot better. We use it pre-surgically if we have a dog that we're trying to condition before a surgical procedure. Post-surgically, after orthopedic or neurologic surgery, we can use it to help them regain function in the limbs in a controlled manner. And even neurologic dogs, maybe that they're aging, they're dragging their rear feet, they don't have real control in the back end. It's a really great way to retrain their gait, meaning teaching, kind of retraining that brain how to control those rear feet and walk in a proper pattern. And again, like I said, healthy animals, we do see them quite often come in. Just if you have a really active lab, say in Arizona in the summer, it's really hard to get enough activity in with them sometimes. So we see them not go out and exercise during the summer because it's too hot, and then when they're let out in the fall, their cardiac function and their overall function is decreased, and these dogs are more prone to an injury because they've spent all summer indoors instead of staying conditioned. So it's an excellent way to keep these dogs conditioned through the summer in, again, a controlled environment indoors to where they can burn off the energy and not decrease their function over the summer.
Sherry, you've been mentioning dogs, and you mentioned cats also can take part in this. We assume that cats don't like water. Is that assumption wrong?
It's really not. It's not very often most people have their cats near water, and cats generally aren't big fans of getting in the bath. But when we do a cat, it's a little bit different because most cats actually don't mind the water. And if you go to the zoo, you'll see lions and some of the big cats actually playing in water. So when we do a cat, we generally, instead of putting them in the treadmill, turning it on and just let water start rushing at them, we generally would get in the treadmill with the cat, fill it up with the water level we want, turn it on, and then slowly lower the cat into the water. And cats actually take to the water quite nicely and do very well in the underwater treadmill.
And slowly putting the water in is probably key for dogs as well that perhaps might be afraid of the water.
It is. Dogs that are afraid of the water, the key is to get them walking so they're thinking about the walking, talking to them, just giving them the reassurance as the water comes in. And since it's coming in at a slow manner, it's not like dropping them into, a pool or a bathtub or something like that. And, it takes a few minutes for them to kind of adjust to it, but most dogs actually really enjoy the water. We have toys and treats that we use. It's more of a playtime thing than it is, like I said, going to the groomer in the bathtub, something like that.
How about our horse owner friends?
although they do use treadmills, underwater treadmills for horses, we do not use that here, an underwater treadmill for a horse is certainly a lot larger than the one we would have for a dog.
But the indoor underwater treadmill is really you really have the only one in southern Arizona, correct, at the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson?
Correct. There may be one or two other underwater treadmills in southern Arizona. I believe they are outdoors. So we do have currently have the only underwater treadmill indoors in southern Arizona.
And all of your people are certified in rehabilitation.
Yes, I have been certified in rehabilitation for 7 years, so I've had a lot of experience, and that's very important when you're working animals in something like an underwater treadmill, because even though it seems like a simple thing when you see it on TV and on the internet, if it's used improperly, you certainly can cause more harm than you can getting benefit from it.
Sherry, what about the cost factor?
Well, it's actually, you know, people are kind of hesitant sometimes to consider things like rehabilitation. But what you have to remember when you're talking about something like underwater treadmill or companion animal rehabilitation is it's much like human physical therapy. So it's not designed to be a permanent lifestyle. What it's designed for is to help regain as much function as we can in conjunction with home modifications, doing exercises at home, so we can get that pet to where it is functional, has a better quality of life, and can be maintained at home. And generally when we're talking about chronic conditions, especially things like arthritis, where you may have a pet that's been on pain medications long term. If you sit down and add up how much continued pain medications, if you use them nonstop, are generally with rehabilitation, once you start increasing mobility in things like arthritis, the need for some of those medications decrease. So it actually is a very cost effective way to help get your pet mobile and have a better quality of life.
Okay, Sherry, we're going to wrap it up with you. Where can people get a hold of you and more information?
They can call the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at 795-9955. They can certainly stop by and take a look at the underwater treadmill, or they're more than welcome to email me directly, and that is rehab, R-E-H-A-B, at vscott.com.
Okay, Sherry Jersick, thank you very much for being with us. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you.
Okay, our monthly companion animal segment, sponsored by Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, an award-winning facility open 24/7 and recognized as the best place to bring your sick or injured pet, at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, and on the web at vscott.com, Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, specialty vets for special pets. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Looking for that perfect late summer getaway? I recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Ranked number one on TripAdvisor, Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees.
Order up!
But we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza!
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next-day professional installation.
And a carrot cake!
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where they have a gem and mineral show and a Chicano music festival coming up over the Labor Day weekend, just three and a half hours from Tucson, just due east over to Silver City, and 15 degrees cooler, and enjoy the beautiful, legendary Gila Wilderness. Lots of great places to stay, including Little Toad Creek Inn, Buckhorn RV Park, and Bear Paw Ranch. You can find out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Well, more than 200 kids at Amphitheater High School in Tucson could get a diploma after spending just 2 years sitting in class instead of four. We'll talk about this relatively new state program with our Buckmaster Show contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education, where he's the former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice. The Flowing Wells, former Flowing Wells School Superintendent, was named Arizona's top school superintendent in 1989. How are you today, Bob?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you.
Well, that's kind of cool. You could get a degree in 2 years instead of four. How's that going to work?
Well, it's an interesting concept. You know, the tradition in high school curriculum is based on the fact that you do X amount of seat time over 4 years. It's based on a formula that was called a Carnegie unit. And Bill, that system has been in place since 1910. And so, again, it's the idea that students advance by the amount of time they're in their seat and how much time they're in the classroom. And so this is really a departure from that concept because it's based on performance rather than amount of time in the classroom. So if a student is able to demonstrate, and in this particular system, which was approved by the Arizona Department of Education, if they can demonstrate through seven different performance tests that they meet the criteria, then they can receive the special diploma, which is called the Grand Canyon Diploma. And they can, in fact, get it with as little as 2 years of work, you know, in the classroom.
This program is called a Move On When Ready program. As you say, it measures student progress through a curriculum developed by the University of Cambridge in a series of tests designed to measure college readiness. I think this sounds like a good deal. Let's hope it catches on.
Well, the Cambridge system is a very rigorous system. It's one that is not lightweight, in my opinion, in any way. And so it has a curriculum that is core-based, similar to the concepts that we're moving to across the country. And the idea that students can sit for these tests, as I said, there's seven tests. They measure their competency. And the students can bank the results. In other words, they can take two of these tests and if they're successful, they can keep them in the bank, and the achievement would have to be a total of seven before they're qualified. A minimum of 2 years, but it could be 3 years. It could possibly be less than the traditional four, but certainly not less than the required two.
And they would be ready then, presumably, to go on to community college or to the university after this, they get this diploma, or
yes,
no?
Yes, the community college. The university is not on board, I understand, with this concept at this point. So actually, there's four different pathways that have been identified by the State Department of Education that students could pursue. And my suspicion is that not all students will necessarily jump out of high school, but there's some other possibilities. For example, one pathway is to remain in high school and take what would be typically upper division classes, like AP classes, so that if they were thinking about going into a university, they could spend their last 2 years or whatever remaining time taking these advanced placement classes, which of course would, if they were successful, would give them advanced a start in the university system. So that's one way they could do it. Another thing is they could go into a pathway in high schools that have specialized programs such as science and technology, engineering, or they could go into we have the JTED program, which is the Joint Educational Technology Technical Program. They could go into a career-based program, having qualified with this diploma. Or the fourth thing, and the one that I think probably grabs a lot of people's attention, is they could go, there would be a direct pathway into the community college system. And, of course, you know, one of the things that community colleges and universities have been moaning about for a long time is that they've been getting students that that needed remediation and didn't have a good start into their program. This particular system would provide some assurance to the community college that if a student had this Grand Canyon diploma, they would be ready to go. They would have the necessary certifiable skills to move into a skills program at the community level. So it's an interesting concept.
Do other countries have something similar to this? I know you really keep track of what's going on the worldwide education scene.
They do. There are several industrialized countries, Germany being one of them, that has what we would consider to be a tracking system where students at a certain juncture in their secondary education career might veer off into a technical vocational system or an academic track. This is a little bit different because I don't think it's not really saying to a student, you know, if you go to community college, we're going to design your future for you, because a student could go to a community college for 1 year and then have that provided as a gateway to go into the university setting. So there's lots of opportunities for these students, but they must be successful in passing these seven classes, or these seven competencies. What I like about the competencies is that it clearly tells the student along the way and their parents, you know, this is that I'm on track or I'm not on track. And if I'm not successful on these particular tests, part of the program suggests that high schools will provide extra support and remediation for students to be successful passing these tests. So I think there's some extra carrots here that we haven't had since 1910 that are going to be very attractive to students. Going to the vocational school or going on to community college and be able to do that in less than 4 years, I think is a very attractive alternative to students.
All right, we're going to have to wrap it up. Dr. Bob Hendricks, thank you very much for being with us, and we'll look forward to talking education with you in September. Thank you.
Absolutely, Bill. Take care. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Robert Hendricks, the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. We have the list of all of our fine contributors up on our website, buckmastershow.com. If you get a chance, take a look. An impressive list indeed. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Our friends at Culligan offering better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial needs. We thank Culligan for supplying all of our in-studio guests and all of the employees here at KVOI with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Then Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe tomorrow morning, 6 to 8. We'll be back with our Friday Focus interview tomorrow. And scheduled guest will be Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Mr. Huckleberry with us in studio for the Friday Focus interview. My name is Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon. We'll be with you tomorrow at 12:04.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.